worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a terrific day today. I've had a lot of people asking me about what's been going on again with the red tide down here, and again, it's gotten very, very little mainstream publicity, even though it is really a horrible environmental disaster that we're seeing. I even saw earlier today that we now have crews, giant crews, that are covertly going down to the beaches and removing all the dead fish by the tens of thousands into tractor trailers and trying to get them out of there so nobody sees them, because the stench has basically gotten so bad and the smell is so bad that essentially the West Coast beaches in Florida now are completely uninhabitable. I mean, nobody's going to the beaches, nobody's going to the hotels, so they're trying to clean all this stuff up now. Now there's even been reports of dead manatees on the beach, which, I mean, is horrible, because those things already die easy enough and they get hit by boats and whatnot. And what irritates me the most is that we have this problem down here. Nobody wants to talk about it in mainstream media. Nobody even wanted to talk about the fact that Putnam was directly involved in it. They're all too worried about reporting on how DeSantis made a monkey comment yesterday. And it really, really bothers me, Dad, when I see stuff like this, when we have a really true environmental disaster and nobody wants to talk about the culprits behind it and how it happened. They're too busy trying to basically twist words on what a Republican representative said that is completely and totally erroneous.
Well, several weeks ago, I went over to Sarasota and I walked out on the beach, and the ammonia smell was so bad that it burnt all the way up into my sinuses, and I had to turn around and I reported live. I mean, I went there that morning and I reported live from the hotel down there, and I was shocked at how bad it was, Austin. I mean, in some of the little inlets where you have boats parked, there were literally thousands and thousands of dead fish, just corpses floating, rotting. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I mean, again, I'm going to stop on this, say one more thing about this. You know, we have had grouper habitats destroyed in Florida because of overfishing. And for the last 10 or 15 years now, grouper has been very carefully managed on the beach, you know, on how much, what size grouper you could catch, how big the grouper had to be. If it was less than 12 inches, you couldn't keep it. Same thing with red snapper. All these different fish are bad. These fish have been wiped out. They've been wiped out now on the whole West Coast, and all of us who basically went fishing and liked to fish, who would have been fined and put in jail if we had fish that were too small, that released all the fish, it was all for naught. I mean, this is an environmental disaster of epic proportions. I mean, this is biblical. This is like the doggone seal opening up in Revelation. It's that bad with these dead fish on these beaches in Florida, and the stench and the shock to tourism. But see, the same groups who own the big hotels, the same groups. It's since I'm on a kick and parade, Marriott basically was bought up a few years ago by these international banker guys. And now they have turned around and bought Starwood so now they're all owned by everybody. Before, you know, if you'd be staying at if you did $7,000 on a credit card, you could basically get, you know, a nice hotel room on Starwood and points. And now they've tripled those points. In Tallahassee, Austin, it used to be it used to be 7,000 points to get a room at one of the hotels. Now they've tripled the redemption value. It's like 25,000 points now to get that same room under Marriott. And yet, when you spend a dollar on a credit card, it's still just a dollar, one point. I mean, it's awful what they do when they come in and they start owning everything. And, you know, we've got these large groups of people who are getting involved. And then we get these crisscross bloodlines. Now, I'm going to talk about this for just a second. I wasn't going to discuss this today until you brought this up. We have crisscross bloodlines. You know, we have like the 13 Illuminati families, or the satanic families, that basically rule the world. The problem with these guys are, let's say, for instance, they have five children and one of them's a daughter and she gets remarried and her name changes. And suddenly she no longer has that name from the Illuminati bloodline families of the satanic families. So they go into kind of like a stealth mode, and she's still carrying the same, quote, bloodline. These guys are all about bloodlines. That's why these royals used to intermarry, and they still do. Over in Europe, you could go to some of the old palaces in Europe, Austin. You've been with me. It's like everybody on the wall got beat with an ugly stick. They all look like their brothers and sisters, and they all intermarried each other. And like everybody is, my God, these people are ugly. Either this is the worst painter in the whole world, or these people are all inbred, and they were all inbred. And they do that to maintain the bloodline. Now, why do they do that? Well, there's a reason they do that. And this is going to sound really weird, but I'll just tell you what they do it for. They believe, and this is probably true, that they are the benign Nephilim, sons of the fall, and they have Luciferian blood running through their veins. And apparently these guys, when they get into an occult ritual, it's easier for a demonic entity to possess them during the ritual because they've got demonic blood in them from Lucifer. As crazy as that sounds, that's what these guys believe. So in other words, they want to have that DNA from Lucifer as magnified as they possibly can in the bloodline in order to be able to partake of the ritual for the transference of energy and knowledge from these interdimensional entities and demons. That's why they do this. That's why they keep the bloodlines pure. You think, well, that sounds nuts. Hey, guys, I didn't say it didn't sound nuts. It sounds nuts to me, too. But that's why they do it. I mean, I don't have any interest in being involved in one of these weirdo parties, these Babylonian parties, like my buddy did, who was the radio show host, who was invited to one and basically went in there and they saw these perversion going on that he said he never believed would existed. And then they told him the following day when he walked out that if he told anybody about it, that they would kill him. They warned him. They said, we will kill you if you talk about this. So he never did on the air, but I've never mentioned his name or who he is. But, you know, I can tell you the story. I just can't mention the name. And then another guy who is a top motivational speaker in the world right now. And if I told you who he was, you'd all recognize his name, which I won't do. He has these Babylonian parties and these orgies in his hotel room the nights of his seminars when he picks 15 or 20 beautiful women from the audience to come meet him in his room, in his penthouse suite. I mean, this stuff's going on whether you believe it or not. It's just what it is. And I've had multiple people tell me about these parties from this one guy. And guys, it's a major, major problem that we're having in the United States with orgies. Remember when Paul said in the New Testament, stop going to orgies, okay? Because the Romans were all about these orgies. You think, who in the world does orgies? Who does orgies? And then all of a sudden you start seeing that this is the same thing going on all of the time in the world elite as part of their worship services. And they talked and they showed this in the movie Eyes Wide Shut with Stanley Kubrick. So, no, Austin, these guys own everything, including the hotel chains, including everybody. Yep. And now, and they don't want to have the media promote how bad the beaches are in Florida because they own the media too, and they own the hotel chains too. So if they come in and start telling you how bad the beaches are, and you're probably going to pass out from ammonia, they're not going to have the people coming to staying at the hotels. The other day when we were in Sarasota, the hotel we stayed in had a club at the beach because the beach wasn't directly on the hotel. I'm sorry, the hotel wasn't directly on the beach, and we went down to the beach, and we were like, there were two or three other people besides us in this entire pool area, the entire beach area. The restaurant was even closed because it stunk so badly. And this is after they picked up the fish. And when we walked north up the beach, because I like to walk on the beach because it was sunset, I got 100 yards past the hotel where they had picked up the rotting corpses, and that's when that ammonia hit me, like smelling salts in the nose. It was that harsh and that strong. Now, one more story I want to talk about that I wasn't going to talk about, but I'm going to do it anyhow. All I said on Monday was there was a giant splash with an accompanied tidal wave in the lake of fire in hell when John McCain arrived on Saturday. That's all I want to say about the guy. I have said stuff about him, and I've given you his past on the forest all repeatedly when he was alive. And I don't like talking about dead people. I just don't have any interest in it because he's dead. Who cares? But I'm going to say this about this guy. Sarah Palin, this is from Breitbart, loyal running mate to John McCain with his stupid antics that he did. She has intentionally been excluded from John McCain's funeral. What an insane lowlife he is, was, whatever it is. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, who was Senator John McCain's running mate in 2008 presidential election, has been excluded from the funeral. Breitbart News has independently confirmed an early report in People magazine, which reported that Palin was not sent an invitation and was told through intermediaries to stay away. Okay, now number two, I got to say here. Who in the H-E double sticks gets an invitation to a funeral, Austin? I mean, what kind of weirdo... Oh, by the way, we're sending off John McCain to hell today. Well, here we go. We're sending out invitations. Make sure you bring a gift and a love offering or whatever you want to give the man. Donate to his foundation. Are you nuts? Are you absolutely nuts? Who gets an invitation to a funeral? This is insanity. And the fact that this clown is lying in state blows my mind that this guy's getting that kind of treatment when he's a career war criminal. The Democrats hated him forever until now when he had a fight with Trump. And now all of a sudden he's like the Democratic hero. I'm like, what the heck's wrong with you people? Are you guys like, the Democrats have gotten so screwed up in the head, Austin, they don't even know what they believe anymore because Trump has come in now. The economy is roaring. The stock market is roaring. Unemployment is down. And all of a sudden Democrats can't say anything besides, economy's doing really well. Employment's really down. Trump's approval rating's way through the roof. But he's a Russian. Well, no, he's not. No, he's not a Russian anymore. Now he's got all these people around that are going to jail that are trying to get the flip on him to try to get him in some kind of collusion charges or obstruction of justice charges. Unbelievable, Austin, that this is going on and that John McCain is actually getting a glorious send-off in our. I didn't vote for this. Austin, did they send out a letter to all of us and ask us if we wanted John, if we wanted to have millions of dollars spent out of our tax dollars for this clown to get buried? I didn't vote for this. I had never voted for this. Guys, a disgrace. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to do it, guys. I wasn't going to talk about it. But this thing with Palin today just set me off. Austin, what do you think? And you guys, hope you enjoyed that rant. It was very heartfelt.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The money that is just wasted frivolously in the U.S. government knows no bounds. We've seen that, and we've talked about articles on that numerous times. And it is always funny to me how we see things like this, and nobody gets a vote. Nobody asks, you know, hey, let's vote on this, see if we want to spend this much money on it. That's what they've done now so well at bloating these budgets out, multi-trillion dollar budgets every single year, is they pretty much give themselves earmarks and the ability to pay for anything they want at any time, all with basically taxpayer money and borrowed money, I might add, that doesn't even exist in reality, that was borrowed from the Federal Reserve at interest that we can never pay back. Very weird stuff. But also, too, in other news, I thought this was interesting. Now, I saw an article over how David Hartwig's Freedom Center has announced that MasterCard and Visa have now backed down from their decision not to accept donations to conservative organizations. Apparently this was going on where Visa and MasterCard were now saying they weren't going to take or allow transactions for donations, and specifically they were going after conservative groups, which you've already seen this before. Now it's showing that the next wave of corporate efforts to destroy opposition to the leftist juggernaut dominating technology, media, academia, and other natural, cultural, and business institutions is pretty much censorship now. Now, Hartwig came out now and he said the good news is Visa and MasterCard are backing down from this decision. However, the bad news is this is just the beginning of the most brutal battle for the future of our country that we've ever seen. He goes, we've seen just how willing to go to silence anyone that dares question them, and with the midterms right around the corner and their ongoing assault of our president and anyone that supports him, we need to be prepared to fight like never before. The Freedom Center is not the only conservative organization that sees MasterCard and Visa deny donors the ability to make transactions. Robert Spencer, who's leader of the Jihad Watch, earlier had his donation processing blocked by Visa and MasterCard through the funding platform Patron, which you guys I talked about last week. Also, two financial institutions, including banks, are already denying loans based on support of the NRA and gun ownership. Talked about that in detail as well. This basically is just the beginning now, guys. It's just ramping up. We're just starting to see this now really start to catch wind. And the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a complete and total socialist entity in itself, and not only that, is one of the most unjust, biased, leftist groups I've ever seen in my life as far as what they represent and how hardcore leftist and globalist they really are. They now, if you guys already know, labeled any conservatives pretty much across the board haters, fascists, white supremacists. We see that in the mainstream media all the time now, and they have been identified as an advisor now to MasterCard and Visa. The Southern Poverty Law Center are now designated as an advisor to MasterCard and Visa. The group also apparently works closely with Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Apple, and Amazon, which have all boycotted and censored conservative voices. Why in the world does the Southern Poverty Law Center have this type of pull in financial institutions. Remember, a few months back, I talked about the Wall Street Journal article that broke a story talking about how the major financial institutions have been discriminating against gun owners. Bank and credit card companies are been and they have been discussing ways to identify purchases of guns in their payment systems, as well as a way to prelude to restricting such transactions. The financial companies have explored creating new credit card code for firearm dealers, similar to how they code restaurants or department stores. Another idea would require merchants to share information about specific firearm product consumers are buying. A spokesperson of the Bank of America told the Journal that the bank's policy is to stop making new loans to manufacturers of certain kinds of semi-automatic rifles sold to civilians. And you guys have already seen before how they've been coming in now and blocking transactions through PayPal. Almost every type of credit card company has been doing this now and blocking transfers or increasing rates. That's the other way that I've seen this too personally with gun dealers that I know, is that what they're doing now is the rates they have, which, you know, at the end of the month, what happens is you have a batch of total amount of orders processed, and usually the Visa card, MasterCard fees range anywhere from 2 to 3 of up to 4 or 5% sometimes with American Express. Well, what they've been doing now over the last year is raising those rates up sometimes up to 6 and 7% from what I'm being told, and refusing to negotiate the rates back down because all of the bank transactions now are starting to become restricted across the board from all the banks. You can't go to another bank and get another quote and get a better rate. They're all fixing them across the board, charging astronomical fees. You got to think about this for a second, guys. So say you do 100,000 in sales with gun sales at your gun shop, which, you know, in reality isn't a lot because there's not a huge margin on firearms. So at the end of the month, you have 100,000 in sales. Well, they're coming in now and tagging you 7 and 8%. So right off the top, they're charging you $7,000 to $8,000 in credit card fees if all those transactions were done via credit card. Well, the problem with that is, guys, is in most cases, most firearm dealers don't have much more than a 10 to 20% margin. So in that $100,000 that they grossed, they probably only netted $20,000 in actual profit off the gun sales. Then at the end of the month, these credit card companies come in and peel another $7,000 to $8,000 off that. So now you're left with $10,000 to $12,000 profit to turn around and buy more inventory for the $100,000 in guns that you need to replace now, which isn't physically possible. It can't be done. You can't keep the business operational and keep a storefront with numerous firearms that people can come in and buy in inventory all the time. Can't be done. They know this, and that's why they're doing this on purpose. They're trying to completely and totally stifle the gun market to prevent. And see, this has all been slow, very slow for years now. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. What's going to happen now over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years is they're going to make it virtually impossible to buy a firearm. They've done this now with laws and regulations from a state level, from a federal level, now from a banking level. So what they're doing is they're going to prevent anybody to be able to come in and buy a gun now, unless you're essentially buying the gun cash, which is okay if you want to do that. The problem is now with more of the gun transactions that they're wanting to do and preventing, as I told you guys yesterday, with this Gillum idiot who's running for Democratic governor of Florida now, wants to come in and make it illegal to do person-to-person transactions. So you can't go and buy this gun from your buddy. Now they'll make it illegal. You have to go through a gun dealer. Well, if all the gun dealers start going out of business, or they have to start raising their rates astronomically high to actually make any type of money, they're going to make it virtually impossible to buy a firearm for the average citizen because the cost and fees are going to become so high, Dad. So this isn't stopping. The censorship that we've seen just with Google and Facebook and YouTube is just the beginning. It's all coming to a head now to do everything they can to silence conservative voices and prevent the ability of having a well-organized, strong militia, which is not only a constitutional right, it is a constitutional requirement, Dad. And most people fail to realize that, especially the Democrats and the leftists.
Yeah, necessity. This morning I was over there swapping some luggage out at a mall in Orlando. That was a nice trip, by the way, with traffic. Thank you. And the luggage had defective wheels on it. We bought it a month or so ago, and we were getting it swapped out. and the lady was from Venezuela. And I asked her, I said, what do you think about the communist government in Venezuela? She goes, anybody who lives down there knows that it doesn't work. She goes, the problem we have here in the United States, she goes, is that when people come here from other countries, they want free everything, and they don't understand that when you have a communist dictator or government like we had in Venezuela, that nobody has the ability to give you free everything. The only way Venezuela got away with it for so long, she said, is because they have such huge oil reserves. She goes, the problem with it is she says, that when people come to the United States, they complain about our country, or they tell them basically, you know, they tell us that basically they don't like it here. They would go back to where they belong or where their old country. She tells them, this is what she says. She's a little bitty girl in Venezuela. She goes, I just tell them to get the H-E double sticks out of our country. That's what I tell them. And you go back to where you came from. And I looked at her and I started laughing and I said, well, that's the same thing with Sharia law. They come from another hellhole country that nobody wants to live in. They come over here, they don't like being in a republic or, well, what used to be a republic, and now they turn right back around and they want to implement Sharia law, which then a lot of cities and states allow them to do that. And I said, then they get to cut people's heads off and cut people's hands off. I said, that's what they were looking for. I said, if they wanted to stay in that kind of environment, why don't they just stay over there where they were in the Middle East or in Africa? By the way, Dick Sporting Goods is now admitting that corporate gun control is hurting their
good
business. Wall Street Journal reports that Dick saw a decrease in sales at a time when the Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index was the highest it's been in 18 years. That means that the economy is doing great and sales are dropping at Dick's. WSJ touched on Dick's unilateral gun control, noting the company's sales were hurt by Dick's decision to tighten its policy on gun sales after 17 people were killed in February park shooting at Parkland, Florida High School, which I don't know about those numbers. I wasn't there. The retailer halted sales of any firearms to people under the age of 21 at all of its 845 Dick's and Field & Stream stores and stopped selling assault-style weapons at Field & Stream. Well, they need to stop selling baseball bats and knives and walking sticks because those are all assault-type weapons that they sell. Unbelievable. So I'm happy to see that they've been nailed. But again, corporate ownership, who owns them, who controls them, that's what you've got to look at. And guys, it's important that we understand that what's going on in the United States and what's going on all over the world is really, really bad as far as these guys with their political correct nonsense, because this is all the communists in Russia that have done this, and they continue to do this. And they're not going to stop. They're never, ever going to stop, because when they get into countries and they start giving their crazy laws, et cetera, into the countries, they start having a massive problems. Like, you know, Ethiopia right now. This happens all the time in Africa. Ethiopia, Muslims have torched another 10 churches, and they've murdered another 50 Christians. Now, where are we hearing about this, Austin? Who's talking to us about this? Where on the mainstream media have you seen anything on this? Christians are being murdered for their faith all too frequently by a barbaric Islamic group in Ethiopia. These are the gang-raping barbarian hordes. Christians are often singled out, tortured, and faces the brutal choice of converting to Islam or being slaughtered and having their heads removed. This has come to no surprise to anyone, because hatred of the non-believer is prevalent in Africa from the Muslims to the Christians. The guys, this in Germany has gotten so bad in Europe that East Germany now had a massive, massive, massive protest. In former communist city, they were protesting the mass immigration after the stabbing of another German man by a Muslim immigrant. Thousands of Germans labeled as far-right protesters and Nazis. Now, I'm going to say this again. Why is it every time you don't like, with Obama, Austin, with Obama, when Obama was in office, if you didn't like what he did with the Fast and the Furious, or with IRS Gate, or with any other weirdo thing that he and the Clintons dreamed up about doing in the White House, you were automatically a racist. You were racist.
Yeah.
It didn't make a difference. If you didn't have a racist bone in your body, you were a racist, because you don't like Obama because he's black. And you're like, but I didn't say I didn't like Obama because he's black. I don't care if he's black. What difference does it make? I'd like to see Colin Powell president. I mean, what the heck does Obama's color have to do with me not liking the guy? Oh, you're a racist. You don't like Obama. No, I don't like the gay Kenyan. Don't like him. If you want to be queer in the White House, own it. Come out and say, oh, by the way, here I am. Look at me. Okay? By the way, Michelle ain't Michelle. She is Michael. And so we all love it. Okay, and we'll all be like, God, this is disgusting. The law against a queer being in the White House, being a homo in the White House. We'll be like, oh, God, now we got a homo in the White House. We didn't do that. But because you didn't like him, you were a racist. Now, in Germany, again, Thousands of Germans labeled as far-right protesters and Nazis, there we go, because they didn't like this guy being stabbed by a Muslim, demonstrated against terrorism and migrant crime and open borders and Angela Merkel, following the arrest of a Syrian man and an Iraqi man who were accused of stabbing a 35-year-old German carpenter to death on Sunday. The government condemned the Germans, bad Nazis, while hundreds of leftists showed up, bad Nazis, bad, now these are communists, showed up in order to counter, remember, that they call them leftists, they don't call them communists. Why is it that whites are communists, they're Nazis, and lefts aren't communists? With hundreds of leftists showing up to counter-protest the German citizens who oppose migrant crime and open immigration. The protests are being held in Chemnitz, which used to be a part of a communist East Germany, like where Angela Merkel was raised, who's also a communist, when the city was called Karl-Marx-Stadt, which is the scene of the murder. Some protesters were heard chanting, "We are the people," which is the same chant used by anti-communist people during the communist era, okay? German society is divided over Merkel's admission of over a million migrants and continuing to bring migrants into Germany. It has destroyed the very fabric of society in Germany and in France and in Italy and in any country that accepts them and gives them free stuff. Again, why do you have to be a Nazi when you want borders that are going to be correctly maintained? What do they have? Well, common sense gun laws, Austin? We have to have common sense gun laws on the books. Why don't we have common sense immigration policies?
Like, there you go.
How about the guy who goes, "I want to kill all the white people that are Christians in America because I hate them because I'm a Muslim and that's what I do." You're like, you probably don't need to get a ticket to come here. You probably need to be stopped at immigration. No, don't stop and let them come in and kill all the white people. White people need to die anyhow. That's how they act. They act like a bunch of weirdos and psychos, but we have to have common sense gun laws, which we already have on the books. All we want, Austin, are our common sense immigration laws to be enforced. What do you think?
That's a really good analogy, bud, because you're exactly right. There's nothing that we're sitting here demanding that they don't automatically try to push on a regular basis. And the irony about it, the double standard with it, is the gun laws that they continually want to push are not even anywhere near common sense gun laws. They're full-blown confiscation laws. If you own this firearm,
exactly,
you're
right.
A felon now, because we
right.
deem that gun scary, so if you have it, you're a felon. You go, "But I'm not a felon. I'm a 30-year-old grown man who's never been arrested for a single firearm charge, and I like to just live freely on my way unmolested, and I like to own firearms for self-defense. What in the world does that have to do with me and you taking my firearms away when I've never committed a crime?" Well, it doesn't matter. They're just common sense gun laws. You don't have to get upset about it. They're just common sense gun laws. There's no need for you to own a firearm like that. Well, if I'm not mistaken, there's no need for people to come into this country illegally and stay here and get free welfare and free housing and free food and free college because they expect to have it done. I don't see your point here. They're two completely contradicting topics, but it's
right.
always what they want. And what's funny is you said a second ago, Dad, and I thought about this. When Obama was president, anybody that did not blindly support everything he said and everything he did 24/7, you were automatically deemed a racist. Yeah, there's no question about that. If you said anything negative about Obama, if you said anything contrary to what he did, if you basically said anything negative about what he was planning to do or the laws that he put in, or you essentially criticized him, you were essentially a racist. Everybody was. Now, if you support our president, if you say, "I appreciate what he's doing, I love the fact that he's trying to make America great again,"
Nazi.
Now you're deemed a racist. Is that one of the most bizarre
Nazi.
Polar opposites we've ever seen before now? The last president, if you supported him or if you did not support everything he did, you're a racist. This president now, if you do support him and you do appreciate what he's trying to do, you're a racist. It doesn't come down to anything about common sense. It doesn't come down to anything about constitutional law. It doesn't come down to anything about us wanting to live freely on our way. The only thing it comes down to is that they want to push, force, and essentially make us fully and totally accept their communist, socialist agenda in this country so they can completely come in and take over every facet of our lives and make us basically the giant baby that they have to babysit 24/7. Because what happens is, guys, when you have a society that is fully dependent on the government for their food subsidies, for their protection, for their security, for their work, for their economy, everything's dependent on the federal government. The federal government literally owns you. You are no longer a sovereign citizen anymore. You are a subject to the government, and they own you. They own everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. And if you don't think that's accurate, look at China right now. They have built a social credit score built on full-blown self-censorship, forcing you to do exactly what they say, or else they lower your credit score to a point that you no longer can function at any type of healthy level in society. You can't rent a car. You can't buy a car. You can't get your kids into a decent school. You can't rent a hotel. You can't get a work permit, which I find interesting. A Chinese citizen has to have a work permit, by the way, if you guys didn't know that. You have to have a work permit that they can revoke if you're a bad citizen. You can't do it. Oh, you're a bad citizen. Bad. We're smacking you on the hand. We're revoking your work permit for 6 months. But I got to work. How am I going to eat? That's not our problem. You decide not to be a good little citizen slave, so we're taking your work permit. Once you decide to be a good little citizen again and you stop talking about how bad the government is and you stop asking questions about how bad vaccines are and you stop telling people that glyphosate is carcinogen and it causes cancer, we'll give you your work permit back. But until then, you're going to be reprimanded and you're not going to be able to do anything at all, including work, until you decide you want to be a good little slave. That is exactly the model that they're taking from China and they're trying to implement in the United States. They're just having such a hard time because one thing we do have in this country that is still crippling them is a constitution. Even though they've done a good job at shredding it the best they can, they are still handcuffed in a lot of areas because they blatantly have to break constitutional law to push their socialist agenda in a lot of areas. That is why they're pushing so hard to get these hardcore socialists in high positions of power, like the governor of Florida now that they want to push with this Gillum guy. If they can do that, it's almost an end round of the Constitution, because now you have an elected representative in office that was supposedly elected by the people of a constitutional republic, now setting the laws because we elected him and we handed off our basically ability to do things on our own, because now we're allowing our elected official to make those decisions for us, which is exactly what they're trying to do now, Dad, as far as with an end round of the Constitution with these horrible people they're trying to put in office.
Well, again, think through this with me for a second. And I've talked about this on the show dozens of times. I'm going to mention it briefly for the new listeners. We, the people of the United States, we have been basically brainwashed by the media, you know, through Karl Marx indoctrination because of what Sigmund Freud taught them, because of what happened, you know, in the types of educational systems that we put in here with the Skinner programming, the Pavlovian conditioning that we've had as human beings, as if we were animals. I mean, this is operant classical conditioning they've done to us. And so we believe that when we give our vote to somebody like Gillum, who's a communist, that, you know, he's going to represent us fairly. Look at Venezuela right now. They got the communists going down there. The only reason that China has had any kind of prosperity for their upper class and their middle class is because of the United States buying all their crap. That's it. If the United States stopped buying all the crap coming out of China, China would be laying off workers and selling more kidneys from their workers. And I'm not talking about voluntary kidney sales. I'm talking about back room, put them in a bathtub and cut their kidneys out of them. Okay, this is what would be going on right now in China as far as organ selling, which they do all, and they do anyhow, but to the extent that we've never even seen. Because right now in China, there are not enough women going around because they start killing all the women. So I have all these men without women, so now they're actually wanting people to reproduce because they're having such a drop in their population so quickly because they don't have any more slaves for the workers in the factories. But what we do is we give the information to the elected officials like this, the now doing backstrokes in the lake of fire, John McCain. Okay, he makes all these decisions because we gave him the autonomy to do that. Then they turn around and they give it over to the CIA, a military-industrial complex above them, who were all owned via the Sabbatean banking cartels and these 13 bloodline families, including people now like Sinclair Broadcasting, who's one of the bloodline families. And Sinclair Broadcasting controls several alternative talk show hosts and distribution in their grid. In other words, they syndicate them. And all of these people basically are answering to the same people who are the Rothschilds and the other bloodline families, who then are tying us directly into a 5G grid to control our very thoughts and actions, which is being tied into a quantum computer into another dimension, according to their own studies, as they break the veil of CERN to go into this next dimension, which is Lucifer, to trickle all the way down so that Lucifer controls everything all the way down, so that every thought of every man is evil all the time. This has been going on since Genesis chapter 6, guys. This is some kind of revelation that I've got. This is what they do. And this is how they act often, and this is what they do. Like, another perfect example. The UK Prime Minister, the absolutely single-digit IQ Theresa May, while visiting South Africa, okay, where they are a communist dictatorship, announced support for land expropriation from white farmers. In other words, kill the white farmers and take their stuff. It's good for the country. I don't even know where these people come from. Prime Minister Theresa May, while on visit to South Africa to cement trade ties with African nations, said the UK could support land reform expropriation of land owned by white farmers if it is legal and transparent, generated through a democratic process. It's not being demigrated to a democratic process, a communist process. What are you, a nut?
Yep.
In other words, the UK supports theft if there is a communist law or dictate that authorizes it and the majority approves of it, which is what communism does. She said that this land theft is an opportunity to unlock investment for the country.
What?
Is she like smoking crack in the back room before she talks? What is wrong with her? Unlock investment for the country when these guys don't even know how to farm? What's going to do is unlock the ability of the doggone top people in communism to take everything and everybody be subjected to complete and total starvation in the country. That's always what happens. That's what Lenin did. That's what Stalin did. That's what all these guys do. That's what Chavez did, in Venezuela. And then he got all ticked off at the Rothschild banking cartel, wanted to start trading his monstrous oil reserves and other than petrodollars, and wanted his gold back, demanded his gold back. He had cancer a few months later. And it was dead and gone. And now Venezuela is being punished, I'm telling you guys, by the international banking cartels. They're being punished exactly the same way that Puerto Rico was punished when they defaulted on $50 billion loans. Let's go park a hurricane over these people. We don't like them. They don't want to pay their bills to us. We're going to show them how this works. And I guarantee you, if the United States ever broke its shackles from the international banking cartel, they would do everything in their power to wreck the United States of America on their way out. I'm telling you, listen to me, guys. Yeah. That's what they would do. So if you're willing to get rid of these guys, which I am, we got to tighten the bootstraps, we got to tighten our belts, and we got to get ready for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years of rocky roads, because we'll have hyperinflation and everything else, especially if we start defaulting on our international debt. Because if we lose the reserve currency status and we lose the petrodollar, things as you have come to know them in the United States will no longer be this way. And we'll have to be able to balance our own budget at the federal level, and we can't be doing a $1 trillion deficit every year thinking how great this is. It's not great. All it does is benefits the military-industrial complex. That's where almost all that money goes. Oh, and that's right. And building their deep underground military bunkers that we don't have invitations to. I guess kind of like McCain's funeral. You know, you have to have an invitation to get into these underground bunkers, Austin. I don't want an invitation to either of them, because quite frankly, I want my country back. What do you think?
You're exactly right. I've yet to get an invitation too to one of these underground bunkers. I've always been curious what they look like. I've seen videos and some stuff on them, but yeah, I haven't got an invitation either. And this is why we tell people all the time, guys, that, you know, silver, ammo, stored food, supplements, intrinsic things that are going to keep you healthy, that are going to keep you fed, and they're going to keep and preserve wealth are so grossly important right now, because you never know when this stuff's going to happen. And there's absolutely no reason to live in a spirit of fear. By contrary, we need to live basically in peace, but that also means we have to live wise. And God has shown us many things of what happened in the past and what are going to happen in the future. And in order to get through a lot of this stuff and maintain a healthy lifestyle and take care of our bodies the best as possible, it means that we may have to store up a couple years of grain, so to speak. And that's an issue that a lot of people fail to realize, because this country's gotten so used to living on that just-in-time inventory, where, you know, they have a day or two of food worth in their house, and then they run back to Publix or Walmart and go get more food, and then 2 or 3 days later, they go run back. Very few people have stored food. Very few people have any type of significant hard wealth that's stored up. I talk to people all the time about this, about just going, I mean, silver's at $14.50 an ounce right now. It's cheaper than they can doggone mine it for. I mean, it's beyond cheap. And I talk to people, and I ask them, you know, oh, I'm playing around the stock market right now. I'm like, oh, how's that doing for you? Oh, well, I've lost some, I've gained some. Okay, that's cool. Well, how much silver do you have? Well, I have some silver investments in the stock market. No. How much silver do you have in your hand? How much do you have in your safe? How much do you have that you can physically possess? Well, I've been thinking about buying some, but I don't have any. And guys, listen, there's things in this world that are very, very important and that have gone back for thousands of years as used as barterable and has gone back as things that are always needed in society, especially when they break down. One of those is being food and water. The next one of those is being the ability to defend yourself. And the other one is the ability to be able to buy and trade and sell things with currency that does not devalue and hemorrhage its value and is not manipulated as significantly like paper currency is. And one of those is silver and gold. It's gone back for thousands and thousands of years. And that's why I tell people, you know, people call up all the time. They're asking about the food buckets and stuff like that. It's like $170 for a food bucket. You know, last a couple people, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, depending on how many people are eating on it. I can't tell you how many times we've lost power down here in hurricanes, how many times stuff shut down. I mean, last hurricane we had, there were people that were completely and totally backed out of the gas stations, going, waiting in line for an hour and a half to get fuel, you know. But I knew there's a hurricane coming. I had my vehicle filled a week beforehand, tried to do as minimal driving as possible, and then had a couple of cans of fuel at the house for backup, for generator and other things like that. That way I'm not in a frenzy when something happens. When you see something on the horizon that's more than likely going to happen, it's wise and very prudent to be prepared for it. Have a couple months worth of ultimate multiple powder that you can use, or capsules, or Fit Food Protein. Fit Food Protein we have on sale right now, and there's so many reasons why I tell people all the time to always have backup food, backup protein, backup supplements at any time, because you may not be able to get to the store. I've seen in numerous cases when this happens almost every time there's a hurricane. Literally within the first couple days of a hurricane getting announced down here in Florida, you go to Walmart, you go to Publix, all the water's gone off the shelf. All of it, gone. That's why I always preserve water down here. I keep water stored. That's what the water distillers that we have are so good for. Granted, if power goes out, you can only run them if you have a generator, but always have them and keep gallons and gallons of water on hand. You put a little bit of the colloidal silver in them. It keeps the water sterile. Nothing grows in it. Everything's good in it. It stores for years on end, and then you cycle it. Use some of the water over here and there, use it there, and then fill up the jugs back up again. Have at least a gallon of water per day, per person in your family for however long you anticipate something to happen. Most cases, I say at least a week is something you want to have on hand. That's a good place to start. If you want to go longer, that's fine too. But at least a week of being completely and totally, fully self-sufficient. You don't need to leave your house or leave your property for the minimum of a week. And obviously going further past that is even better. But that's a great place to start, and a good thing that a lot of people, when they see a storm on the horizon coming, need to think about that, because it's easy to buy stuff right now when everything's great, when the market's great, everything's awesome. But I mean, I saw, remember after Sandy Hook, the 5.56 ammunition was going for more than $1 a round at gun shows for 5.56. 5.6 AR-15 ammunition. P-MAX, 30-round P-MAX, we're going for $50 and $60 for one magazine. Now you can buy them again for $8, $9, $10 a magazine. These are the times that you spend a little bit extra money and stock up on your supplements, stock up on your food, stock up on your ammo, because when the time comes and you actually need it, you're going to be thanking Jesus that you were so wise and bought this stuff early and had it on hand, Ed.
Yeah, we try to keep, we have like a minimum of like 4 years shelf life on our supplements.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So you're not gonna get in trouble with supplements. By the way, this is an interesting article. It's by Von Geritz. It says, autumn of 2018 will be momentous in the world economy markets. Right now, we're having a last hurrah for stocks, bonds, and the dollar. And it says that right now they're trading on the COMEX in Europe and here in the United States at 500 to 1 with actual bullion. In other words, for every dollar they give out in bullion, they're giving out $500 of fiat money. Okay? That means they can't fulfill the contracts in gold and silver. Okay? Now, what it says, starts talking about this, it says that the Venezuela, the Bolivar, is going up exponentially. Yes, since May 2018, gold has gone up by 23,000 times or 2.3 million percent. Think about that for a second. That's in Argentina, goes from one crisis to the next. Gold is up 14,500 this century. Finally, Turkey, gold is up 26% since May this year and 3,500% since 2000. Europe's basically bankrupt. We see that with all the debt and all the borrowing they're having to do. It's all underwritten by Germany, which they had to bankrupt. The EU elite is desperately trying to keep a collection of disparate nations together by coercion combined with forcing debt onto any nation who threatens to exit. Greece and Italy should have left the EU long ago, introduced their own devalued currency, and reneged on the debt up to the EU, but they were stopped by Brussels. Now they will fall with the rest of Europe. The UK, your people voted to leave the EU and Brussels and are using any means to stop that happening. The US debt has doubled overnight from $21 trillion to $42 trillion. Now listen to this. This is interesting. The world could possibly cope with major problems in emerging markets in Europe if the world's biggest economy, the U.S., was sound. But sadly, this is far from the case. The biggest economy is also the sickest. Federal debt has doubled every 8 years, which puts the U.S. on target for $40 trillion debt by 2025. The guy goes on to say he's well aware that this is substantially above the official forecast, but why pay attention to these when they have always been wrong? And the federal debt seems to be at $42 trillion rather than $21 trillion, if the $21 trillion lost dollars are accurate based on Catherine Austin Fitz findings. That's fact. More likely is that problems in the economy combined with a financial crisis will lead to unlimited money printing and surging interest rates. If you guys haven't noticed how everything is going up and up,
yep,
and up, fuel, food, clothes, everything. Why is that? Because the dollar is losing its purchasing value. Right now in the United States, if the dollar was properly adjusted, we have at least $16,000 golden right now per ounce. That's what it would be right now. This would be based out of 1980, and we came to this point to be at $16,000. Now, that seems like a fantasy, but the reality is that $1,200, like Austin said, and $14 for silver, it's ludicrous. It's below processing, manufacturing stuff. So, guys, I'm not telling you what to do because I'm not a financial investor, but I am saying this. At least, by my opinion, that's all it is, not a financial investor, keep 10% of your liquid assets in precious metals. It's just something to sleep good at night. I was given that advice many, 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 many years ago. And, guys, I still think that's a good advice because at that point in time, you know, and don't keep them at your house. Don't do that. But, you know, find another place that's safe. But the reality is this. Be very, very careful right now because if we have another oil embargo or whatever happens and oil goes through the roof and inflation starts really kicking up again, the only reason that the inflation is not through the roof right now, which it is much higher than they're telling us, is because the central bank is continuing intentionally to lie about the inflation rates and hold down the borrowing rates on their discount and their points. And quite frankly, if the inflation went back up to 10, 15, 13, 14% on mortgages, Austin, the entire housing boom that we're in right now would completely collapse within 30 to 90 days. Because everybody would say, we can't afford this. We can't build a house at, you know, 18% interest. Because that's what we were doing, guys, back in the 70s. They had the housing markets and the interest rates were 18, 19, 20%, like a credit card for the house, doubling itself every 7 years. And the craziest part about this is that I remember when I bought my first home, my second home in Somerset back in 1988, your Austin was born, I was paying like, I think it was 13% interest. And you know, that was a good deal back then. That doubles the borrowing cost of the money. I mean, think through all that for a second. So that's how fragile this economy is right now. And the only reason they're holding it together is because Trump is healing, boy. Heal. That's why they're doing it. Because if Trump starts to do what he wants to do, they're going to mess the economy up. And they're going to do it quick. So he's just trying to get through these midterm elections so they can get through it in case the market crashes. And if he can get him through two more years, he might be have a little bit more freedom if he gets a second term in office, Austin, simply because he doesn't have to worry about being reelected. But we'll see what happens. What are you thinking? What are your comments?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. That's why they're pushing so hard for the Democrats to pull some impeachment stunt with him to try to prevent him from getting reelected again, because I do think that will happen. If he gets in for another 4 years, he knows he's going to be able to do pretty much anything he wants at that point and keep pushing. And so I'm hopefully we can keep that going and get that done. Also, too, another article showing about HPV vaccine again. This is crazy. I talk to you guys about this all the time, but people still continue to inject themselves and their children with this stuff. A study now has shown that it can actually raise a woman's risk of getting cervical cancer instead of preventing it as intended. I talked about that last month, and the article that was published in the Indian Journal of Medical Ethics has noted there's a significant rise in cervical cancer incident from 2014 to 2015 among women who received the HPV vaccine. Not only did the study link the higher HPV vaccination rates to cervical cancer, it also highlighted how the FDA analysis of the Gardasil vaccine showed a greater risk of pre-alignment cell changes from the vaccine among groups that were exposed to certain strains of HPV. Well, now, a week after this study was published, things got ugly. The journal's editor removed mentions of the Karolinska Institute from the article after the institution informed them that no one by the name of the study's author, Lars Anderson, worked for them as claimed, which was interesting. This prompted the author to share his real name with the editors after being promised confidentiality. The editors confirmed that the author had the right expertise, experience, and qualifications, and that the study was accurate. However, they also confirmed that he was facing a credible threat of harm and needed to keep his name secret. They went on to confirm the article's conclusion that the HPV vaccine was possibly associated with a high risk of cervical cancer and retained the article. Now, this is where it gets even weirder. Certain parties, and it's easy to imagine who they would be, questioned the decision to let the article stand, and the editors finally gave in and fully retracted the entire article and study. Even as they did so, however, they maintained the article's findings was correct. And so what's crazy about this is Gardasil has been totally suppressed as far as the negative effects by mainstream media. Almost every time somebody comes out and talks about it, they're either shut down for some weird reason, way, shape, or form. There's already been responsible for more than 200 deaths in the United States and over 56,000 negative effects recorded by the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System in the U.S. The court ruling confirms that it kills people. Now, that's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. We've talked about that so many times, really only picks up on about 10% at best of what happens, because a lot of people don't know, nor can they directly link it to the vaccine. We already know it causes death. We already know it causes all kinds of issues. It's also one of the highest aluminum-containing vaccines on the market. The amount of aluminum on it is well past what the FDA and the EPA allows in any type of food or drinking water, to the maximum extent times 20. You can look at it, and I think one dosage of Gardasil has upwards of like 450 micrograms of aluminum per one shot. Now, the fact that the latest study showing how dangerous it is was retracted, not due to inaccuracy, but on a mere technicality over the author's name, should give anyone who considers this shot serious pause to think about it. So, again, another reason why to stay away from this stuff, Dad. And I've talked about it so much, and it's not like I'm trying to beat the dead horse because of the HPV vaccine, but I want to bring this up because this is one of the primary reasons why so many of these young girls are going into early menopause, sometimes in their teenage years, having paralysis, and in some cases death, and nobody wants to talk about this shot whatsoever in the mainstream media. But in other news as well, since it looks like we lost Dad, I don't know where he went.
Austin, I'm back, and I apologize. Guys, the reason that happens every once in a while is because we don't have a producer because we maintain the cost down on the show. Normally what a producer does, they pod up and pod down your microphone, and you're in the same room. And so you don't hear me breathing or drinking water or whatever. I'll turn my microphone off for a second, and then when Austin comes back on, if I'm not looking at the screen and see the microphone's off. So forgive us when that happens, and God, sorry about that. But let me cover one more thing. Guys, and I got to go anyhow. What supplements should you take after menopause, thinking about all these girls that are going into menopause and all the women that are in menopause? One of the most important things is you need to get on milk thistle, ashwagandha, which is in our we have a lot of our products that have this one in there. And you need to also be taking a really good high quality calcium and vitamin D3, K2, and cod liver oil. And you need to be on a really good magnesium topical and a very good magnesium soak for your system and turmeric. And you say, and CoQ10. Those are the key ones that you really need if you've gone through menopause. Sharon wrote an entire chapter on what she used when she was going through menopause to reduce the symptoms and breakthrough health. And we'll be more than happy to give you that. In fact, I think that's as a free article now on our website. Guys, thank you. I had the opportunity to pray for you guys again today. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely awesome, and I'm going to let Austin finish the show. God bless. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. And I mean, it's so crucial. As I talked to you guys the other day, that there's a couple key things that we can all do right now to stay really healthy. That's A, staying away from these vaccines, especially the ones that we know that are incredibly detrimental to our health. B, getting the glyphosate out of our diets. Eating organic as much as physically possible and as financially feasible. At least eating GMO-free certified food. Trying to get all the additives and all the preservatives and a lot of the processed food, MSG, hydrogenated oils, out of your diet. Making sure you're drinking at least distilled or purified or reverse osmosis water. You're not drinking a bunch of fluoride and just garbage toxins like in tap water out of plastic bottles. You're taking in as many healthy supplements, even as something as base like our Ultimate Multiple Powder or Ultimate Multiple Capsules on a regular basis. And you're exercising on at least a semi-regular basis. Those are all very, very crucial and a lot of times very easy things to implement in your life that can have a very, very significant impact in a positive manner for your overall health and longevity. So those things, like I said, there's a lot of stuff we can't control. You know, we can't control what's going on in the Middle East right now physically, you know, best we can at least. So there's a lot of stuff that we have to do to prevent us from being exposed. And also, too, shutting down your Wi-Fi at night, not having the electromagnetic frequency exposure 24/7, not sleeping with your cell phones right beside your bed, and for goodness sakes, keep your kids away from all these electronic devices all day long. You know, if they want to do something occasionally or use it for school, that's one thing, but letting these kids sit on these iPads and these phones, it still just tears me up inside when I go out occasionally. And we'll go out to the dinner, we'll go out to the park, or we'll do something. Instead of these kids playing, instead of them eating dinner, they're sitting there on these stupid iPads like little idiots and can't sit there and do anything productive outside for any period of time because they're so wrapped up in these video games. Not only is that not healthy for their mental health and development, guys, it's not healthy to be exposed to that type of electromagnetic frequency, especially long-term whatsoever. So we appreciate the support from you guys. Be sure to check us out at healthmasters.com. We got lots of sales going on right now on the website. Be sure, if you guys haven't tried the Vive anti-wrinkle and hair health kit, be sure to check that out. That's a really, really good topical product. Helps out with hair. I actually had a buddy who's in the Army right now. He got on the shampoo and the scalp cream, and his hair, it came in the other day after using it for about a month and a half, and his hair was already starting to get fuller in the front, and he was so excited. I thought that was really cool how well this product works. And if you guys need anything as a base product, the Maximum the Health Energy Kit or the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit is a great place to start. A lot of it on sale for 5, 10, 15% off right now. So be sure to check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.